There's our school bell. It is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And what we're going to do today is continue a study on Peter and the Risen Lord. This is a Sunday school lesson from May the 8th, 1927, prepared by E.A. Enum and brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house at Rock Cliff is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, for the lesson text, we're going to read from John chapter 20, verses 3 through 9, and then we're going to read what Elam had to say about Peter and John at the tomb. And so, John 20, 3 through 9. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and then they went toward the tomb. And stooping and looking in, he seeth the linen cloths lying, yet entered he not in. Simon Peter therefore also cometh following him, and entered into the tomb. And he beholdeth the linen cloths lying, and the napkin that was upon his head not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then entered in therefore the other disciple also, who came first to the tomb. And he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again unto their own home. Peter and John were greatly concerned over the fact stated by Mary, and hastened with all speed to the place. John outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Stooping down, he looked in, and saw the linen cloths in which Jesus had been buried lying empty in the tomb. Yet entered he not in. Peter, bolder and more impulsive, passed John, entered at once into the tomb, and found the linen cloths carefully folded and lying in one place, and the head napkin rolled up in a place by itself. John then entered, following Peter's example. Upon him first gleamed the thought that Jesus was risen, for he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They had understood, or had they understood, he would rise from the dead, they would not have been surprised at what they beheld. Wrapping the body of Jesus with the 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes, the preparation of these women to anoint him, and the great surprise of all at the empty tomb, show they were not expecting him to rise. The careful placing of the clothes is not insignificant. If the body had been taken from the tomb, the clothes would have been taken too, or would not have been left in such order. Every small detail goes to show that Jesus arose from the dead. The disciples could not have been mistaken or deceived. Had they expected the resurrection, their curiosity would have been at the highest pitch, and all would have been watching and eager to catch the first sight of him. They could not have deceived others either, had they tried to do so. On the testimony of these witnesses rests the faith of all Christians in Jesus as the crucified and risen Savior. Luke, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, declares that he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Because they did not understand the scripture concerning the resurrection of Jesus, the disciples went away again into their own home. After the crucifixion and burial, the disciples lost hope and went home. All did not leave Jerusalem and vicinity, but stopped with friends or at lodging places. Now, Peter was a true leader. Let me read John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. So when they had broken their fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Tend my sheep. He said unto them the third time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. This was the third time that Jesus was manifest to the disciples, assembled together. But it was his seventh appearance since his resurrection. As verse 1 and 2 of John 21 state, this appearance was at the Sea of Tiberias, that is, the Sea of Galilee, to seven of his disciples. Peter was one of these. While all present were benefited by this appearance, it seemed to have been especially for Peter's benefit. So when they had broken their fast, Jesus turned his attention directly to Peter. Since Peter's fall, although Jesus had met him at least three times before this, the matter had not been mentioned. Although Peter sinned, he could repent and be restored as an apostle. He did repent. He turned again, Luke 22:31-32. Immediately after he had denied his Lord, Jesus having given him such a reproving look, Luke 22:61-62, he went out and wept bitterly. When Jesus foretold Peter's fall, he also predicted his restoration and laid upon him the obligation to strengthen his brethren. This obligation is renewed here in the language, Feed my lambs. Peter was fitted naturally to be a leader. Few men are. Most people must lead, hence the importance of wise, safe, and God-fearing leaders. Peter was bold and courageous, the first to speak and act. He was also impulsive and rash, but tempered in the furtherance of experience and discipline. He became wiser and was better prepared for his life's work. He needed, too, to be assured by his Lord that he had been restored to his former position. Jesus was as kind to Peter as he was to Thomas. Only, he dealt with Peter in a different way. It may be significant that Jesus here addresses Peter as Simon, son of John, the name by which he was first called, John 1:42, and not as Peter, a stone. He had shown himself too weak to be called a stone. When Jesus first called Peter to be an apostle, it was just after a miraculous draught of fishes, Luke 5:1-11. And now he calls him the second time under similar circumstances. Three times Peter had denied his Lord, and three times he here avowed his love. What does Jesus mean by the question, Lovest thou me more than these? Scholars differ as to what these refer to. Some say it refers to the fishes and bread. If so, then Jesus meant to ask Peter if he would forsake all things and suffer hunger and want for his sake. Others think it refers to the other disciples. If so, Jesus meant to ask Peter if he loved him more than the other disciples loved him. The latter seems to be the true meaning and was somewhat of a reproof to Peter's boasted love hitherto far. While now He could not know the depth of the love of others had for Jesus, neither did he know it before, when he declared that although all should forsake Jesus, he would not, but would die first. He once declared that he loved the Master more than these other disciples. Now, since he had thrice denied the Lord, what does he think about it? He no longer boasts of his love or compares it with that of others, but appeals to the Lord's own divine knowledge of the condition of his heart. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Indeed, the Lord knew Peter's heart and assigned him work to do. This is the test of love. If ye love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. Feed my lambs, Jesus said. Lambs are the young and tender ones in Christ, whether they're old in years or not. It is more difficult to give suitable spiritual food which will strengthen and edify the lambs of Jesus than it is to find fault, scold, or abuse. Carping criticism is not education, comfort, or consolation. This question was asked by the Lord the second time, and Peter answered the same way, "Tend my sheep." There's a difference between feed and tend. Tend means to shepherd. It includes feeding, but more. It means to watch, to guard, to guide. Peter, who so well understood this, exhorted the elders to tend the flock of God, exercising the oversight. 1 Peter 5:2. At first, Jesus said Peter should become a fisher of men. Here he makes him a shepherd. Later on, Peter spoke of himself as an elder. 1 Peter 5:1. It is one thing to introduce people into the kingdom. It is another thing to lead them as godly shepherds into the green pastures of truth and beside the still waters of peace. For the third time, Jesus asked Peter the question. The Lord, it seems, intended that Peter should avow his love as openly and as repeatedly as he had denied him. By those who know, it is pointed out that two different Greek words are used for love in these verses. The first one, agapao, which was used by Jesus, is the stronger and means love founded on admiration, veneration, esteem, unselfish love, given of choice and devotion. Such love God manifests for the world in the gift of his Son. Such love Jesus manifested in his life of toil and in his death on the cross. Such is commanded toward our neighbors and our enemies. It means action, duty, service, to regard the welfare of all, to wish well, to exhibit free and goodwill toward all. The second word is phileo. It was used by Peter and means love prompted by sense and emotion, such as friends feel for friends, to be friendly, to be attached to long for, and etc. Consult Thayer's Greek-English Lexicon of the New Testament on these words. In his question, Jesus twice used the stronger word, but Peter modestly replied with the latter. Then Jesus, in the third question, dropped the stronger word and adopted the one used by Peter, as much as to say, Peter, are you sure that you have for me even the love which you declare? Peter was grieved because Jesus, in asking this question the third time, seemed to doubt his love. Again, Peter, enlarging upon Christ's knowledge, said the third time, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And again, Jesus applied the test. Feed my sheep. The grief was good for Peter. He doubtless felt the shame of his denial. We'll conclude this Bible study on Peter and the resurrection in our next class.